Welcome back to the Born a Ball podcast. As always, I'm your host on this beautiful Monday morning, the start of a new week, October 7th, 2024. We are here. We are live with it. And today, I'm going to cover the weekend it was of the ALDS and NLDS, an upset-filled Saturday college football day, NFL Sunday slate, and we'll look into the rest of the ALDS series and NLDS series with also a little Monday Night Football preview. And yeah, guys, we got a jam-packed show today, and I can't wait to get into it. You know, I came to you guys on Friday. I told you guys constantly, yo, October is a great month, and it lived up to that. Playoff action in baseball was amazing. College football Saturday, it was live. I couldn't catch all of it. I virtually didn't catch much of it except the first games of the afternoon. But, man, it was a beautiful day, a beautiful weekend of sports. You can't complain much, man. You know, when life isn't going so well, when the world is, you know, full of messed up things, you know, us people, we can lean on sports, and it's a great thing to have, man. And this weekend for sure delivered, and as we continue to go on in October, we get NBA preseason action, NBA regular season, continue to MLB playoffs, NFL, NHL, MLB again, but man, sports on sports, you know. And hell, if you're into fighting, wrestling, you had that too Saturday. You had UFC, WWE. I totally forgot both of them had pay-per-views that night, man. That's how locked in I was on baseball and college football. It's just a great thing to have, man, and you can't complain at all. A lot of us ate, and a lot of us are full off sports, and we're going to enjoy this Monday of just Monday Night Football and ALDS, and we're going to enjoy what I think tomorrow will be NHL opening day and NLDS. So it's packed, dude. If you love all sports, you can enjoy it. Personally, you know, I'm a 3-4 sport kind of guy, including college sports, so you know, I'm kind of just one route for me, but dude, I'm excited, man. I love sports, dude. It's such an amazing escape, you know, talking sports with people, this and that, man. So, like I said, just enjoy everything. Just enjoy all we are. We're not guaranteed nothing in this life, guys, man. But let's sure as hell just enjoy everything sports has to offer, man. But let's kick it off with some ALDS action and NLDS action. So, to kick off the postseason action around noon on Saturday, we had the Guardians and Tigers. The Guardians won this one 7-0 and I guess what you could say, blowout fashion. I don't know, 7. That's kind of a blowout, I guess, in baseball terms, man. But, yeah, I said this was the game where the Tigers' momentum gets stopped. I mean, just the Guardians rested, got enough to scout on the Tigers. This is where the momentum is going to stop. But it is what it is. You lose this one, you move on. Excuse me if you heard the Netflix out in the back. But, yeah, I accidentally clicked the Netflix app on my remote. But, yeah, a Jose Ramirez double and a Josh Naylor single got the Guardians up 2-0. But it was the Lane Thomas three-run bomb that shot the game wide open in the bottom of the first. Practically ended the game right there in the bottom of the first. But later in the bottom of the sixth, David Fry added some insurance with a 2-RBI double. Tanner Beebe didn't make it to 5 innings. But he had 6 strikeouts and gave up 4 hits with a walk. 4 arms came out of the bullpen for the Guardians. And Clase ended it in the bottom of the ninth. Of course, he didn't get saved with the score, but man, Guardians came out looking like the team they were supposed to get runs, get on base, handle, bullpen shows out, you know, get a decent or good performance from your starter. And yeah, man, the Guardians did exactly what I thought they would. They would halt the Tigers' momentum. But for the Tigers, I think Tariq Skubal is back on the mound for game two, a pivotal game two on Monday, and I'll get into that later. But yeah, dude, that was a great game. Well, I don't know why I just said it was a great game. It wasn't, man. But it was a great start. A great game for the Guardians, for the Tigers. It is what it is. Your goal is to split. And, you know, your goal is still ahead of you on Monday. You know, you still have the opportunity to split the series and take it back to Detroit, man. But, yeah, we're going to talk about another team that needs to split, and that is the Royals. They lost 6-5. Pitching-wise, Walker and Cole didn't perform to their standards. Walker in 4 innings gave up 3 earned runs and 1 home run to Gleyber Torres. While Gerrit Cole went 5 innings and gave up 7 hits to 3 earned runs and 1 home run to MJ Melendez. From the start of the first inning, man, Michael Massey, Bobby Witt, Vinny, all great contact. 3 outs, yes, it was up 1 out, 2 out, 3 out, but it was all great contact. Michael Massey was just a few feet away from a home run. If it wasn't for Aaron Judge making a great defensive play, Bobby Witt probably gets a double or triple. And I mean, they were hitting off Gerrit Cole. You could tell, like, you know, he returned in late June. You know, he was stellar that last month of the season, but, you know, with 9 days in between his last start, you know, he just wasn't on it, man. And the Royals did take advantage of that. But unfortunately for the Yankees, you know, they took care of Walker. And, you know, Walk, you know, that's what I call him. You know, he was hitting. He didn't do bad, in my opinion, man. But it's unfortunate you lost that game. And when 3 of the best 4 hitters, I guess you could say, in the series goes hitless, it's somewhat of a unique game, man. You know, and I'm talking about Bobby Wood Jr., Aaron Judge, and Vinny Pasquantino. When you talk about the two best hitters from each team, you got Juan Soto and Aaron Judge, Vinny Pasquantino, Bobby Wood Jr. And for Judge, Bobby Witt, and Vinny, they all combined to go for 0-14 in that game. Vinny and Bobby were 0-5, and Darren Judge was 0-4 with multiple strikeouts. And while Juan Soto had three hits on the night, he was by far clearly the MVP of that game and the Yankee squad. But it was guys like Austin Wells, Jazz Chisholm, Alex Verdugo, Gleyber Torres. These guys were beating you. And I know you want to pitch. You don't want to pitch to Juan Soto or Juan Soto and Aaron Judge, you know. But it's unfortunate you walk out of games like this and you get beat by guys like that. Austin Wells, Alex Verdugo, Jazz Chisholm. Those are the guys that you're okay. We want them to beat us, you know. We want to see if they got it to beat us, and they did that night. And it's unfortunate because when you look in hindsight, it's like, dude, we let these guys beat us. When Aaron Judge went 0-4, we let these guys beat us. It's unfortunate, but I mean, it's the sacrifices you're going to have to make because you don't want Aaron Judge to go 4-for-4, two home runs, because it's like, okay, why are we pitching to him? But at the same time, in hindsight, after the game, you'd be like, okay, we just lost to the best player in the world. It is what it is. Can't stop the best from being the best. But that wasn't the case Saturday night. Aaron Judge put up a whopping zero. Didn't do nothing. He looked bad the whole night, man. And, you know, you still lost that game. But it is what it is, dude. I'll talk about game two, man. But when you just look at the stats, Salvi got on base a few times. I mean, it wasn't the worst, rules-wise. You know, I'm glad the offense did what it did. Five runs is huge. You only scored three in the wild card series total. So you come out here and you score five. It is what it is. But, you know, the breaking part of it was the bullpen, unfortunately. Angel Zerpa came in, gave up two walks, a hit, and earned a run. Then John Schreiber gave up another walk in. Boom. They scored two runs on two walks. Nobody wants to see that. Every Kansas City fan would prefer if you just gave up a hit and gave up two runs. Instead, you walk, guys. Eight pitches out of the strike zone, and you walk the guy, man. Brandon, you could say the ump was off and on all night, but nobody should get walked for runs, man. Angel Serba kind of sunk it. Walka didn't help, though, but Michael Lorenzen, you know, unfortunate, man. You know, they're going to say he lost the game. Of course, he did, I guess, but I thought Jazz Chisholm was out. I can sit here and talk about that call for hours because if you look at it, I wish I could show you guys a picture, but there's clear daylight between his foot and the base when Tomasi tagged him. I thought it was an obvious out, but the command center didn't feel like it, I guess. So we unfortunately got screwed with that, but at the end of the day, you still had a chance to respond in the top of the ninth, and you didn't, and it's okay. I'm not going to be upset about that, man, but you hope in game two you don't get your two best hitters in a lineup going 0-for-10. It is what it is about that, man. I expect Vinny to get a home run in game two. Like I said, I felt like somebody out the left-handed batter's box was going to get a home run for this Royals team. And surprisingly, it was MJ Melendez, man. He was stellar all night. Two RBIs. I mean, he was stellar. Tommy Pham with the sacrifice fly. He had seven guys left on base offensively for the Royals. But, you know, it is what it is, dude. Massey had two hits. Perez got on there. Yuli, which was very solid. He had two walks and a hit. I really appreciate that. He had three runs. That's just, you can't look past that, man. He was great all night. You know, you made good defensive plays. You just, unfortunately, though, you lost because of a bad call. Didn't go your way, but you had to respond game two. Cole Reagans on the mound. Carlos Rodon. I'll talk about game two a little later down the line. But, yeah, man, unfortunate. But it is what it is for us, but let's talk about the NLDS at least, you know. Sorry I had to get in depth about the Royals, but you know, that's my guy. Those are my guys. For the Mets and Phillies, the Mets, they continue to score runs. That's what they've done in game one and game three of the wild card series. And hell, they continue to do it, man. The Phillies in the bottom of the first handle business. It was Kyle Schwarber, first pitch, knocked it out of there. Beautiful. Everybody in Phillies hyped, and boom, you go on and you handle business for the rest of the game, and it's not until the top of the eighth where the Mets broke out for five runs. I mean, dude, five runs, and they continue just shine, excuse me. It was Mark Vientos with a single line drive to get Harrison Bader to score, excuse me, and it's tied 1-1. And then Brandon Nimmo singles, boom, another score. Lindor scores. Pete Alonso with the sacrifice fly, you're up three. J.D. Martinez, excuse me, singles. You're up 4-1. Another sack fly from Starlin Marte. You're up 5-1. And then in the top of the ninth, you get another run by Nimmo hitting a single. And you finish the game 6-1. In the bottom of the ninth, the Phillies get two more runs at the end. But for the Mets, it was another great stellar offensive performance. And I'll talk about game two in a second because, you know, they played on Sunday. But, yeah, I mean, you did your job. What can I say? You did your job game one, man. You know, every time as a road team in a division series, your goal is to split the first two games, and that's what they did. Now, when I talk about game two, unfortunately, they could have been up 2-0, but I'll talk about that in a second, man. But they did their job. They won game one, which was huge. It led to the Phillies being very upset for half a game two, but Phillies fan at least. But yeah, man, I mean, your top guys showed up. Lindor got on base, two walks and a hit. Vientos with two hits. I mean, your guys get there, dude. Brandon Nimmo with two hits. Pete Alonso, the sack fly. I mean, your offensive stars showed up. And yeah, for the Mets in game one, you know, there's a lot of happy stuff to talk about. But, you know, the way game two went, it was the complete opposite, man. But really can't keep talking about that because, you know, there's a lot to talk with game two, man. But let's talk about the Padres and Dodgers game one, at least. Erickson Profar, of course, he's known, had an amazing game two. We'll, of course, talk about that in a second, man. But he started it off with a single, got him up 1-0, and then boom. Excuse me, he didn't start it with singles, a ground out, excuse me. I'm just rolled around. Boom, Padres up 1-0. Then Manny Machado pimps a home run. Dodgers up 3-0 early, man. Crowd's hype. Everybody's in the mood. It's all lit. You know, Dylan Cease handling the business at first, but, you know, multiple strikeouts. Mookie Betts gets on base. And then kind of got a little weird for Dylan Cease, excuse me, at the bottom of the second. Walks Will Smith. Gavin Lux singles. You get two outs, you know. No, nobody likes giving up runs with two outs, but, you know, you're going to trust Dylan Cease, of course, bottom of the second versus Shohei Ohtani, two outs. You're going to think it's going to be good, but Shohei Ohtani was asked, how does he feel about postseason nerves, or does he have any? In English, he responded, nope. And he clearly proved that as he hit a three-run bomb in the bottom of the second to tie it up. Everybody's going crazy. Shohei Ohtani's here, and everybody's just lit. But quickly, in the top of the third, Padres respond. Xander Bogaerts hits a double. Two runners score. They're up two now. And I mean, back and forth pitching-wise for a little bit, you know, until, the bottom of the fourth, where wild pitch and you got guys scoring. And Tommy Edman scores. Now you're only down by one. And then Teoscar Hernandez singles and you got two guys that score. Now you're down two for the Padres. And yeah, that's the tale of the story. Padres lost this one 5-7. It is what it is. You know, you gave up two innings where you gave up three runs, and Dodgers got a little insurance at the end in the bottom of the fifth. But offensively, you know, you score five runs in the first three innings, and, you know, you feel good about yourself, but your pitching lets you down that day. It is what it is. You know, can't really cry about it, can't complain. Dylan Cease didn't get all the way through, you know, what he needed to be. He only threw thirds in one inning, you know, six hits, five earned runs, five strikeouts, one home run. Just not good. Not what you need to win games, and unfortunately didn't win this one. But let's just skip to Sunday. Sorry if I messed that up. You know, I'm trying to read off the MLB app summary. Couldn't catch most of the Padres game. Of course, I was a little upset about the Royals result. But for Sunday, man, two electric games. Well, in my eyes, you know, I enjoyed the Padres blowout, but whew. The New York Mets started this one off early. I mean, top of the second, you hit a two-run home run. Mark Vientos continued to be stellar. I mean, he's just killing it, man. I mean, I'm in awe. He's handling the business. Excuse me, top of the third, he's handling the business. You're up 2-0. I mean, dude, he's electric, man. You know, I really didn't hear of him before the playoffs, and I can't be upset about that. I don't really watch regular season baseball. Shout out to T-Mobile and free MLB TV, but the lack of not having the Royals available, you know, really doesn't get me in the mood to really watch any baseball. But Pete Alonso, the polar bear, hits another home run, his second of the postseason. Boom. Mets up 3-0. Vibes are high. Everything's good, but boom. What can I say? Bryce Harper, bottom of the second, pips a home run. Now the Mets are only up by one. Nick Castellanos, bottom of the sixth, after getting booed, pimps a home run. Now it's 3-3. Brandon Nimmo homers, up 4-3. And this whole series right now has just been about offense, and I love that, man. It's electric to see, and it's just great to watch. You know, Mets up one in the top of the eighth. They go to the bottom, and then it's Bryson Stott with the base clearing triple. And now the Phillies, are up 5-4. And then, boom, top of the ninth, Mets quickly respond. After the Phillies scored another one in the bottom of the eighth, guess who responded for them? It was Mark Vientos. Another two-run homer, ties the game up. Everybody in New York's lit, OMG, which is the right phrase to use because this offense doesn't stop. They continue to keep going, man, and they tied the game up. But what really kind of changed it all was Trey Turner walks with two outs. Bryce Harper walks. And then the guy that got booed earlier in the game, Nick Castellanos, with the home run earlier, singles. Trey Turner scores, and the Phillies walk it off. An electric game. Can't believe I ended up watching Red Zone over most of this game. But, you know, I kind of forget playoff baseball is on sometimes. But I won't forget now on, especially after seeing the ending of this electric game, dude. I mean, baseball is beautiful. And these two teams have shown back-to-back games why it is. Back and forth. Just electric, man. Both teams had double-digit hits. For the Mets side of things, your bullpen didn't really clutch up, and it is what it is. You just lost to a good team. I really can't give you the best insight, like I said, unless I can really fully watch a game. I can't give you the best insight, so I'm reading off the MLB app. But off the score, off looking at the end of the game, off of looking at the box score, both offenses showed up, especially the Mets early on. But Philly responded and they just kept that Rocky heart, that Rocky Balboa. No, they just kept that energy in their heart, man. And they came back and won this game. Now the series is tied 1-1. But for the Mets, you know, after you win game one, there's no way you walk out of Philly thinking, keeping your head down low because you did your job. Either walk out 2-0 or you walk out tied 1-1. And that's what they did, you know. Unfortunately, you couldn't be up 2-0 heading to New York, but it is what it is. At least you're 1-1. But losing a game like this, knowing that, damn, you were just a few more outs away from being 2-0 and heading to New York. You know, it's going to sting a little, but it is what it is. For the Padres side of things, let's talk about the 10-2 win over the Dodgers. I watched this one. So I don't even got to look at the box score, really. Yu Darvish, boom. He dealt all night, man. He just cooked. And it was a beauty to see. Taking his time, picking this lineup apart. Mookie Betts, Shohei Ohtani, hitless on the night. At least Mookie Betts got on base. At least he walked. But Yu Darvish only gave up three hits, had three strikeouts, walked two people. Electric, only gave up one run on the night. On the offensive side of things, it was Fernando Tatis in the top of the first with a bomb, dude. He was electric all night. When they said he owned Jack Flaherty, he wasn't lying, man. He had a double and home run off Flaherty. Things got chippy at the end. Flaherty was talking to Manny Machado. They were talking to shit, but Manny had the last laugh as they won by 8. Dodgers fans cleared out the stadium, and I bet nobody's shocked by this, but there you can see multiple Vine videos at the end. We have to have a real discussion about LA sports and its fans, man. It's a little ghetto, all right? But Tatis, man, three hits on the night, three RBIs. Manny Machado with the hit. Jackson Merrill, rookie of the year, candidate in the NL, three hits on five at-bats. Sander Bogaerts. I mean, David Peralta hit the home run, but the guy dropped the ball. The fan dropped the ball, man. That was disappointing to watch, but David Peralta got off. Everybody popped their rocks off, versus Jack Flaherty. And it wasn't the best performance. Offensively, the Dodgers just couldn't respond all night. Yu Darvish was electric, like I said, man. Mookie, hitless. Ohtani, hitless. Freeman, left the game early, but hitless. Teoscar Hernandez got a hit on the night. Max Muncy had two of them, but overall, they just couldn't overcome Yu Darvish. Max Muncy, of course, had a home run late in the game to make it 10-2. But yeah, it's 1-1. I love to see this on the NL side of things, man. 1-1 for both teams, both series. Mets, Phillies, Padres, Dodgers, two rivals in their division going back at it, man. 1-1 for both series, man. But yeah, if you heard my dog barking in the back, excuse me. But yeah, electric game. Enjoyed it. Electric series. Electric day for baseball around to join with football is, man. But quickly before we switch the tides and go to football. We're going to stick. We're going to go to football. We'll talk about the ALDS a little later. Take a little break between baseball, man. But let's talk about this. What it was, a college football Saturday full of upsets, man. But first, let's get Mizzou and Texas A&M out the way. Don't need to bring him no stats about this, man. First drive, you got won a coin toss, he took the ball. You were cooking at the Elise, you know. I unfortunately got to a third down, but it is what it is. You hit Luther Burden. Excuse me, I think it was Theo Weiss. No, it was Luther Burden. Yeah, you hit Luther Burden for like a 20-yard catch. Boom. Everything's moving. All whites on. Looking electric. Everything's feeling good. Then, boom. On fourth down, you got hit with a missed DPI call. They called holding on the field. Took the flag back because it wasn't holding. But since it was defensive pass interference, you know, nobody called it. And we got screwed over on that first drive. And you weren't able to score. And after that, man, it was just a mess. Offensively, you just couldn't respond. You had two potentially game-changing drives taken away because of penalties. Illegal man downfield. And, of course, the DPI I just talked about. You know, as I sit here with my Mizzou sweatshirt on, I'm not going to give up on this team just because of what else happened in the SEC that night and in college football. But it's heartbreaking to say the least, man. A&M just flat out was better than you, man. Gary News, I don't even mention any A&M player, dude. I was just disgusted. They were just dominant the whole night. Defensively, you couldn't get a stop to save your life. For the offense, I'm really not worried still because you have playmakers and you did it last year. And I think your offense is somewhat a little better, in my opinion. I think your O-line's better. Brady Cook just needs to perform better, I guess, man. Kirby Moore, better play calling. So offensively, I'm not worried for this team. I think they can still live up to an elite status. Defensively, though, I am worried. Even though Alabama lost to Vandy, a lot of people got upsetted. You know, I don't know if you really can stop the Crimson Tide offense or the Sooners offense or Auburn's offense or Arkansas's offense. I don't know if you can stop any of those offenses. Granted, you could prove me wrong, and maybe this is a wake-up call for that defense and a lock-in. But for, I guess, the trajectory of the rest of the season, your college football dreams or playoff dreams are still alive. Alabama losing, Tennessee losing, it proves that, you know, your on paper, your toughest matchup is Alabama, and they just lost to Vandy, a team you beat. Granted, was it close? Yes, but you beat that Vandy team, and they beat Alabama. So you could use simple football math and be like, hey, if we beat Vandy, if Vandy could beat them, we could beat Alabama. Maybe I'm talking out my ass, but we get blown out in the first half again, and it is what it is. But your dreams of the college football playoffs are still in front of you. Now you're going to need some luck. You're going to need Ole Miss to drop. I think they play Georgia and OU, so you're going to need OU and Georgia to handle business. You play Oklahoma later in the year. You're going to have to beat Oklahoma, beat Alabama, and you're going to hope Tennessee or Georgia fall off. And it's just you, Alabama, and yourselves as the three SEC teams down. It is what it is, you know. I'm not upset. The vibes were off, man. You know, I thought we could come back, but it is what it is. You got UMass this week. If you offensively, you need to drop 50. Defensively, you need to give up less than 14 points for me to feel good for the rest of the season. If this game is close, then I will say this season's chalk. I will recommend that Luther Burden, any other one that wants to go to the draft, declare and give up. No, I'm just kidding. So your season's not over, man. Like I said, a lot of people had you losing one loss. Losing at least once, it's still making the college football playoffs. So your dreams are still alive. That's the gist of it. A lot of people across America, including myself, had us losing at least one game and making the college football playoffs. Now, was that game to Alabama? Yes. But you can't beat Alabama, and you can still walk into the playoffs as a one-loss team. Now, you're going to need Ole Miss to lose a game or two. Going to need to beat OU. Tennessee drop a game or two. Going to need to beat Alabama. A few things need to go your way. Especially LSU, too. A few things need to go your way. But it's possible. College football, anything can happen, man. Unfortunately, this was the wake call, a good wake-up call. You know, you're going to have to have one little positive on it. And I think this team is going to finally wake up and realize, you know, things are legit, man. The SEC is in no cakewalk. So, it is what it is, man. But I just had to get that Mizzou rant out the way so we could talk about the rest of the college football games. And just a little warning, I didn't watch none of these games. You know, I was pretty busy Saturday afternoon, and then the Royals came on. So, I was watching that. So, I can't really give you top-tier analysis on Alabama and Vandy or Arkansas, Tennessee. I'm going to just read off a box score and give you my opinion on trajectories of those team seasons and this and that. But yeah, man, let's get into the rest of those games. So I remember coming to you guys on Friday saying this college football slate was going to be terrible. I was very wrong. On Saturday, you had the number 9 team, the number 4 team, the number 1 team, the number 11 team, and the number 10 team all lose. And some got blown out, unfortunately, and some lost in close fashion. Number 8, Miami nearly lost. They came back down 21 late. I was knocked out at that point, but they came back to win this one by 1 point. As of now, one of the Heisman favorites, Cam Ward, isn't my Heisman favorite. One of the favorites, though, Cam Ward, threw the ball 53 times, completed 35 passes for 437 yards and 2 passing TDs en route to a 21-point comeback and a 1-point win, man. You know, he on business. is what it is. Late night. When they did their thing, Texas Tech University. They beat Arizona. You know, they're continuing to roll. I think they're ranked now. If not, forgive me. But like I said, A&M blew Missouri out by 31. Arkansas, unranked Arkansas, beat number 4 Tennessee, 19-14. You know, I thought Tennessee would blow the rocks off of them, but you know, Nico, I can't pronounce his name. I'm gonna call him Nico for now on. Had 16 completions, 156 yards. Didn't throw a touchdown. Didn't throw an interception. But it was, Dylan Sampson, who had 151 yards on the ground. 140 on the ground, 11 through the air. Had 2 touchdowns, 22 carries, and he had 1 reception for 11 yards. I don't know. Offensively, your passing game wasn't there. Your rushing attack was, but your passing game wasn't there. And that was plenty enough for Arkansas to stop you from scoring only 14 points and for them to get 19, man. Arkansas, who I thought were going to be terrible this year, clearly is proving me wrong, man. And they're kind of scaring me. They're the last team on the schedule for Mizzou, and they very well could ruin our season if we continue to win out. If we do, and we're just one win away from being in the college football playoffs, they could very well spoil that, man. But that's, what's that, all the way in late November? Who cares? So them Razorbacks, man, had 434 yards total offense. 266 of them came from Taylen Green through the air. He handled business. It was the big performance of the day for them was Andrew Armstrong. He had 132 yards with 9 catches, and yeah, I can't really say much about this game. They won this one 19-14 for Tennessee. You just drop one. It is what it is, man. I look at their schedule. It's going backwards. Excuse me. I'm trying to find their schedule. Yeah, you got Florida next, and then you got Alabama. Two teams that lost. So, one of them, that's going to be a big game. I can't wait. It's on the 19th. It's going to join that stack Saturday 19th, we have. But you still got Georgia. Kentucky's already upsetted Ole Miss and nearly did Georgia. So, you got Kentucky, Georgia, and Alabama to really worry about. And Vanderbilt, who knows? They could upset you too. Hey, who knows? But those are two games you gotta watch out for, man. Those are three, four games you gotta watch out for Tennessee, man. But your season's not over. Nothing to cry about. For Arkansas, you're proving to everybody that you're legit and no threats to worry about in the SEC. So congrats to you and them Razorbacks. Let's talk about Kansas real quick. Them boys just dropped their 5th straight game to Arizona State, and there really isn't much to talk about. These guys are just not good. It is what it is. You're just not a good team, man. The most hyped season ever. As long as Mizzou doesn't fall down this path, we're good. I mean, Mizzou had a very high season, but you know what? I think we'll at least lose. If we lose games, I don't think we'll only drop two more going forward. I can only see us losing to Alabama, either one of Oklahoma or Arkansas. That's it. All right? So we'd be a 9-win team with a bowl game and maybe ranked. Who knows? But Kansas is completely white. Building a new stadium, trying to get recruits in, trying to out-recruit K-State and other local programs, but you're struggling to keep your head above water, man. It's bad vibes for Kansas, man. It's bad vibes, man. But in other news, two Big Ten teams lost, number 10 and number 11 in the country, USC and Michigan, both only scored 17 points. For USC, they lost to Minnesota 24-17. Shout out to them Gophers. And for Michigan, and they lost in the national championship rematch game 27-17, man. Michigan, they're not going to defend that trophy, man. But the big game of the day, man, the number one team in the country loses to unranked squad, the Commodores, man. Is that their name? I don't know. I just call them Vandy all the time, man. But Diego Pavia, he put the fear of God in me, man. When he played the Mizzou, he scared the life out of me, man. He had 16 completions for 252 yards and 2 touchdowns. He also had 20 carries for 56 yards on the game on the ground. Cedric Alexander had 8 yards and 2 tutties. I mean, it was also, I think, former QB Eli Stowers. I think they said he was a former QB, man. He had 6 catches and 113 yards through the air. For Vandy, you limited this offense. They only had 394 total yards of offense, 17 first downs. They only held the ball for 17 minutes compared to your 42. 42-17, that's huge. That's what won Vandy the game, was the time of possession. We're talking about 42 minutes and 8 seconds compared to Alabama 17-52. My God, dude. That's a lot. And Jalen Milroe threw the ball 24 times, had 18 completions for 310 yards, threw an interception and a touchdown. Ryan Williams got limited to only 3 catches 84 yards, but still had two touchdowns through the air, one returning and one rushing. And overall, man, for the Crimson Tide, you beat Georgia, but you immediately dropped down. And this is what I heard, man. I think Nick Saban was talking about it on College Game Day. He was talking about how he'd rather coach the losing team in a big game like Georgia-Alabama than a winning team. Because for the losers, okay, you get your head, you realize, you keep your head up, you realize you got to attack another week, you got to move forward, and, you know, you can't let this drain you. You can't let it get to you. Well, for Alabama, you beat Georgia, heads up tie, you realize you got Vandy, and Vandy catches you on your heels. Now, I'm not saying they weren't prepared, no. They probably were. I mean, the message for every team, if you play sports, you play football, anytime you get a big win or a big loss, the message is clear that you need to keep your head off and move forward. Don't worry about what happened. Yeah, you won. Don't worry about that. You got a new opponent, new team. Don't worry about the big win you just had. For the losers, it's like, don't let that loss drain you. You have a new week, a new opportunity. Let's get another win. And it clearly showed. Georgia handled Auburn, and Vanderbilt beat Alabama, man. And I saw a funny thing. All D1 FBS FCS teams lost in the state of Alabama. Alabama, Auburn, I think. Alabama A&M? I think so. I can't speak for South Alabama. They might have been on a bye, but yeah. Or Troy. I don't know, man. Screw that. But yeah, I saw a funny graphic. But anyways, man, for Vandy, huge program win, man. You could have beat Mizzou. You could have beat Mizzou and Alabama. That would have been two top 10 wins, but it is what it is. Nobody's tripping about the Mizzou game for them, man. Diego Pavi was lit up after the game, giving all glory to God. Shout out him, man. But yeah, dude, you know, and as I'm looking at this stat line in the corner, man, SEC 40-35 Andy wins. Then you look at that Big Ten. Nebraska, Dylan Riley only won the game by 7 as they scored 14 points and en route to beating Rutgers by 7. And Scarlet Knights unfortunately lost, man, but it's interesting what Nebraska does, man. When you don't keep your eye on them, they're a very interesting team. But I digress, you know. Good week of football, but last thing I want to talk about is who I think needs to win the Heisman. I don't care about, you know, G5, none of that. D1's D1. All right, FBS at least. So when you're the best player at your position by far, I think you're worthy of Heisman, especially when the stats back it up. And Ashton Jeanty has proven that. 13 carries, 186 yards on the ground, and 3 touchdowns. I'm pretty sure I took a screenshot of what his stats were before halftime. And not even before halftime. I think before the end of the before the middle of the second quarter. My brother had 2 touchdowns, 6 carries, and 146 yards. His longest on the day at that point was 75 yards. Dude, I want to click on his stats, man. When you look at his stats, I mean, this guy is by far the Heisman. He has 1,031 rushing yards, the first to 1,000 this year. 16 rushing TDs. He averaged 210 yards a game, and he's first in all 3 categories. His longest 77 yards. I mean, dude, he's Heisman, okay? I guess Cam Ward deserves shouts. The only guy that's competing with him is Cam Ward. Not Shador Sanders. Not Quinn Ewers. I know, even though he's injured. Not Ryan Williams. Not Jalen Milroe. It's Jashon Jeanty and Cam Ward. If Jeanty can get these, carry the Boise State to the college football playoffs as a G5, letting him be the G5 representative, he deserves Heisman. If Cam Ward can continue to keep his head above water and they cannot be in close games like that versus Cal and they can cruise to the ACC title, I don't know. It's an argument to be made. I think it should go to Ashton Jeanty, and I think he deserves it, bro. I don't care, man. That's the last thing I want to talk about college football-wise, man. Let's move forward to some NFL. Let's get that wrapped up, and then we'll finish it off with some ALDS and Monday Night Football preview. So I think we had our first international game across the pond. No, I'm not talking Brazil. It was the Vikings versus the Jets. The Vikings won this one 23-17. I woke up mid-game. Still at the point, Aaron Rodgers already threw 2 interceptions and threw a 1-pick-6, man. And we'll talk about A-Rod real quick. The guy's washed, all right? Here's the thing about playing in your 40s, playing sports. A, you're either lucky and you play baseball, and, you know, your body doesn't really take a toll. Or B, you're LeBron James, and you spend millions on recovery. Or you're Tom Brady, and you play football, and you do the same thing LeBron did. But probably at a faster or higher pace, because you're a quarterback, and you're way more in a physical sport. And Tom Brady, LeBron, they spend a lot of money on recovering, while Aaron Rodgers was in the middle of the woods smoking weed, meth, or whatever the hell he wants to do. Whatever he wants to do in his free time, but there's no, as sure as hell, it ain't compared to what LeBron and Brady do. But forgive me for stuttering right there. But yeah, the guy's washed. You know, I thought Stephon Gilmore was washed too, but he handled business, got a late game interception and sealed the deal for the Vikings, and now they're 5-0. The Jets are 2-3, if I'm not mistaken, but you lost to the Broncos, Niners, and Vikings. He had 2-3, which is crazy. Garrett Wilson, though, did handle business. He got a lot. I think he had nearly 22. I think he had 22 targets. Let me look at that, man. He did score a touchdown on the day, too, but I think he had 22 targets on the night. Excuse me, on the morning, and he had a touchdown. I think he had over 100 yards. Real quick, let me look at this for y'all, man, so I'm not dumb. Yeah, my boy had he had 13 catches, one touchdown, 101 yards. He had 22 targets, excuse me. And that was most of Rodgers' passing. He threw the ball 54 times. Why in the hell is Aaron Rodgers throwing the ball 54 times? But throwing the ball for 54 times, excuse me. Three of them being interceptions, 22 of them going to Garrett Wilson, and only completing 29 while you only score 17 points. Embarrassing. For Sam Darnold, he didn't play his best game. He had 179 yards, 14 completions and one interception. But it was the defense that made up for them. What's his name? Andrew Van Ginkel. Yes, he had a pick six on the day. Stephon Gilmore caused that interception. And then Cameron Bynum had an interception as well. Harrison Smith was all over the field. Harrison Phillips. I mean, guys like that have handled the business for Vikings. Brian Flores is a brilliant mind. Great to see. Great to witness. You know, he's not a head coach no more, in my opinion, but he's an amazing DC, and he needs to be valuable. And Kevin O'Connell, he scored having him on his team. But for the Jets side of things, Robert Saleh's seat is getting a little bit hotter. Same with A-Rod. A-Rod is on a short lease, in my opinion. You got a lot of talent on the squad. Why waste it with this old-ass quarterback? All right? If he's not doing he's not doing what you need, why hold on to him, man? He's just excess. He's just he's loose fat. All right? And we're going to have to come to the season where I wouldn't be shocked if they miss the playoffs, he doesn't play bad, and they come to a mutual parting of ways, and he retires. Basically, they said he's got to go, and he realizes because here's the thing. I respect A-Rod. I don't like him, but I respect him, and I would hate to see him on another team because at that point, you're clearly washed, and you just don't know it yet. For Brady, two teams was enough. For LeBron, three teams is enough. What? I mean, Brett Favre went over the places. I don't like that, man. I feel like when you're a legend and you know you are a legend, don't risk your image by going everywhere other places to play, even though you're washed, man. The worst thing for Rodgers to do is that once he breaks off of the Jets, because I think it happens if you don't make the playoffs, especially if his play is poor and you don't make the playoffs, he breaks off and he joins another team. I think that would be embarrassing to see because obviously you're washed. And wherever you go, it's not going to be pretty either, man. But for the Vikings side of things, you're 5-0. Jay Jettas, shout out that my boy. He had 6 catches, 92 yards. All over the field. Aaron Jones walked out the game a little injured. CJ Ham, shout out the fullbacks. They say he's a running back. Well, we know the deal. He had a touchdown at 10 yards. But yeah, for the Vikings, good win. Is what it is. Shout out them Vikes, though. Jets, A-Rod's washed. That's all that matters. All right, let's go to the next game, man. Speaking of quarterbacks, you know, I don't even have respect for Deshaun Watson. The Browns lost to the Commanders 13-34. Left hand up. Who are we? We're the Commanders. I'm going to say that every time they win, dude. And hell, I might play it next time. They win another game. They beat the Ravens this Sunday. I will play that video on the podcast, man. But Deshaun Watson on the day, 15 completions, 125 yards, and one passing touchdown, and also a few arguments with Kevin Stefanski. Dude, it's clear as day. It's clear as day. This isn't going to work out. And it's clear as day his skill isn't worth his pay, and I don't think nobody in the league should keep him no more. I mean, hell, he could have another sexual assault charge pending, another case pending at me soon. So, who knows about that. Amari Cooper, I think, is clearly on his way out. No reason to keep him. I think he's very well going to be on the way to Arrowhead. I think the Chiefs will just seal the deal, and I'm happy the Browns are losing because I don't like Deshaun Watson. And I want Amari Cooper to be a Chief, and the only way that happens is the Browns continue to lose, and we're sitting there weak. 7 before the trade deadline, the Browns just ship them off for a pick, and hopefully that works out, man. And hopefully they don't act weird and be like, we don't want to help the Chiefs, dude. Fuck off, man. Just give us Amari Cooper. But yeah, Browns, they just got worked all night. It is what it is, man. Myles Garrett was there. I think he was, right? He was, you know. He had one QB hit on a day. We gotta free my boy, or we gotta get him off the. They got to get Deshaun Watson on the team, get a better quarterback. For Jaden Daniels, though, former Heisman, 238 passing yards, 14 completions, one interception, and one touchdown. Brian Robinson had himself 2 TDs, but he only had 18 carries of 7 yards. Ugh. Terry McLaurin lit it up again, man. 4 catches, 114 yards. Shout out that boy, man. He's actually working. Great to see him with the quarterback finally. Austin Eckler had 6 carries, 97 yards. Excuse me, 67 yards, but had 97 yards in total with 2 catches and 30 receiving yards. Ertz got on the board with 2 catches. overall, the Commanders handled business. I think they had a pick six, or not a pick six, but they had a few turnovers as well. What they had 4 unforced fumbles, 2 fumble recoveries, sacked Deshaun Watson 7 times. Excuse me. So, yeah, shout out to Commanders. Left hand up, who are we? We're the Commanders. Big win. They get the Ravens next Sunday. It's going to be a huge battle. Next up in a game I'll probably talk about the least here, Dolphins beat the Patriots 15-10. Tyler Snoop Huntley threw the ball 18 times, 194 yards, 1 interception. Tyreek Hill, I saw a funny tweet. This guy asked a fantasy person, Trey Sermon or Tyreek Hill? I don't know what he went up with, but a few people told him Trey Sermon. This other guy told him Tyreek Hill. He would recommend Tyreek, but he wouldn't be upset at the decision. He probably should have went Trey Sermon, because Trey Sermon had, I think, 5 more points than Tyreek Hill, man. What's going on with this offense is pretty unfortunate. Tua's out. You know, I was thinking in the car ride, man. I'm like, if Sam Darnold, I wanted to bring this up with the Vikings, but I'll bring it up right now. The Vikings make the playoffs. Hell, they win the NFC North. What are you going to do at QB? Because Sam Darnold, let's say Sam Darnold play continues to rise up, and he's handling his business, and he's doing pretty well. What are you going to do? Are you going to say, yeah, you know what, Sam Darnold, you aren't in our picture because we drafted a first-round quarterback, so screw you, man. Please find another job, but if you want to stay, you'll have to take a pay cut. Not worth paying you, buddy, but yeah, thank you for the AFC North Championship, but we're going to go with J.J. McCarthy. Or is it, hey, damn, Sam Darnold's playing pretty well. Should we just make this a QB battle and in training camp then ship off whoever loses? Because, hell, winning is way more important than keeping anybody in our picture. I doubt the latter one happens, man. But in the chance of Sam Darnold's a free agent after getting the Vikings to the playoffs or a division title, I felt like a team like the Dolphins should throw a bag at him. If you want to keep Tua for another year or whatever, do that. But make sure you have a viable option behind him. We see guys like Joe Flacco, Sam Darnold, handling business week in and week out as backups. And it's like, dude, the Dolphins got to make a decision. If you're going to run it back with Tua, you need to have the best backup quarterback in the league. You need to trade for the best, sign the best, give the best some money. But you're going to need a viable option, because you have too good of an offense to just be held back by the lack of good backup quarterback play in Skylar Thompson and Tyler Huntley. All right, we know Huntley made a Pro Bowl, but that was the most fugazi Pro Bowl I've ever seen in my life. All right, Jalen Waddle only had 4 catches, 46 yards. Tyreek had 6 catches for 69 yards. Devon Achane left the game early with an injury, and Raheem Mostert had 19 carries for 98 yards. I don't think nobody scored a touchdown. I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm looking at this, and I'm thinking it's all field goals, dude. And it was 3 field goals. I think somebody scored. Hell nah, G. Somebody had to score. How do you score 3 field goals and you're at 15? I guess Alex Ingold got a touchdown. That doesn't make no sense. Yeah, I do. They missed the extra point. He had to, right? All right, bro. I'm confused. I'm still confused on how they got there. But it is what it is. You know, anyways. Ugh. All right. Just get a better QB, man. Backup quarterback. And you won't be in these positions where you're nearly losing to Jacoby Brissett. But for the Patriots, it was heartbreak. Everybody thought Jalen Polk caught the touchdown. I did too. But I guess since Scott Hansen said, you know, he didn't tear his foot the whole way, heel, whatever. Unfortunate you lost that game, man. But I think this week they are going to make this change. I think Drake May finally needs to start. I think Adam Schefter made a tweet about it. But Jacoby Brissett just gave another mediocre performance. Nothing bad, nothing good. Just mid. And, you know, I think at that point, why not give the rookie a start? Because, hell, if it's going to be mid, just give the rookie a start, man. I mean, why not? What you got to lose giving him a start, man? But Ramondre Stevenson got benched this game, apparently, and he walked in there with 12 carries, 92 yards, and a touchdown. Huge game for my fantasy. And as of now, I walked in there 1-3 in both of my money leagues, and now I'm going to probably walk out 2-3, which saves my season, because if not, I probably would have started trading players for some money, man. But I digress. Dolphins win this 1-5. Next game. Speaking of backup quarterbacks, let's talk about one of the best in the league, Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco is elite, brother. 44 attempts throwing, 33 completed, 359 yards, and 3 touchdowns and 0 interceptions. He came back. He kept the Colts close, man, and Alec Pierce was a big reason to that. Alec Pierce had 3 catches and 134 yards, averaging 44 yards a catch with 1 touchdown. Trey Sermon, who I just mentioned earlier, he had himself a game. You know, he had 63 yards, 1 touchdown, and 10 carries. Michael Pittman had a touchdown and 5 catches. Big day, I guess, for the Colts, you know, backup quarterback. Like I said, if you ever lose a game with a backup quarterback, but he performs well or you barely lose, it's a win in your eyes, man. Your team competing, and it's unfortunate. But for the Jags, they had a lot more on the line. They had a lot more juice in this game. For the Colts, you already beat the Bears. You already beat the Steelers. you know, not that much pressure on your shoulders compared to Dougie P and that Jaguars team. You didn't want to start off 0-5, be the only 0-5 team in this league. But Trevor Lawrence on his birthday delivered. Dougie P lives another to see another week. For Trevor Lawrence, he threw the ball 34 times, 28 completions, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception with 371 yards. The MVP of the day was Tank Bigsby. He had 13 carries, 101 rushing yards, 2 touchdowns, and he also had a receiving touchdown. Oh, no, he didn't. Excuse me. He had 1 long catch for 28 yards. But yeah, man, every time I looked on red zone, there was Tank Bigsby or Brian Thomas Jr. doing something special. Brian Thomas Jr., just mentioned him, 5 catches, 1 touchdown, 122 yards. Christian Kirk even showed up, 4 catches, 88 yards. Gabe Davis, 3 catches, 38 yards. Now, according to a report, I don't think it got recorded, but there was a heated discussion between Gabe Davis and Trevor Lawrence. Gabe Davis had needed to be held back, but you got to hope, hopefully, the win got them to hug post game, man. But for the money he's getting paid, his production is pretty bad, man. Now, look at his stats. He's only got 159 receiving yards, averages 2.4 catches a game. He ranks 82nd in the league in rush and receiving yards and 126 in catches per game. But terrible. But for the Jags, big win. 1-1 by 3, and now you're back on the winning board. Well, let's talk. I can't wait to talk about this, man. This brother, Josh Allen, went 9 for 30. 9 for 30. Like, he shot in, like, this was an NBA game. 30 attempts to 9 completions, which is embarrassing. He loses another big game back-to-back weeks. Lost to the Ravens to Lamar Jackson, and lost to the Texans and CJ Stroud. For somebody that was crowned MVP after 3 good weeks, I guess, against the Cardinals, Jags, and who else did they play? It doesn't even matter, man. Cardinals, Jags, and Dolphins. Yeah, there you go. Dude, he comes out and gives back-to-back stingers, man. This isn't my MVP. My MVP wins big games. Right now, if I had to crown somebody MVP, I wouldn't really know, man. It's hard because, in my opinion, I'm going off of voter fatigue. I think it's real. I don't see a way Lamar Jackson wins MVP if they aren't the best team in the league. He might play well, but he needs to play level-headed. And right now, he's doing solid. But I don't know. I don't want to crowd him MVP. I don't want to crowd nobody MVP. But he's one of the favorites right now, Lamar. But you know, all I gotta say, if Patrick Mahomes beats the Bills and Josh Allen loses to CJ Stroud and the Texans, Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, and Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, he's 0-3 in the big 3 games versus AFC contenders. There's 4 real contenders in my eyes. It's the Texans, Bills, Chiefs, and Ravens. And the Bills, if they lose to the Chiefs, are 0-3 versus them. And that's a big hit versus Josh Allen because the MVP, in my eyes, needs to win big games. Regardless if that's MLB, NBA, or NFL. Granted, the NFL has major repercussions in big games because there's only 16 games and you're going to have a few big games throughout that season. Compared to the NBA where, who knows, a regular wins the night when Joel Embiid is facing Jokic and vice versa. I guess it's a big game, but at the same time, it doesn't matter. Playoff odds or whatever. But regardless, it's a big game versus 3 other Super Bowl candidate teams and MVP candidates. Terrible performance, all right? Offensively, Joe Brady hasn't been cooking in my eyes. Dalton Kincaid has just been a bust fantasy-wise. 2 catches, 34 yards. Keon Coleman, he only had 1 catch on the day, but it went for 49 yards and a tutty. James Cook had 20 carries and 99 yards and a touchdown. You know, they were down, 3-20? CJ Stroud didn't help the Texans at all, though. He had 2 boneheaded turnovers, 1 interception and 1 fumble in the second half. Nico Collins did lead the game early, but he had 2 catches and 78 yards with 1 touchdown. CJ Stroud also threw for 331 yards and a touchdown. Stephon Diggs had 6 catches, 82 yards in a revenge game. Him and Josh Allen's pregame shake was a little quick, but hell, what do they have to say to each other? I doubt there's any beef, but you know, there's a little resentment between each other. Dalton Schultz, 4 catches. Tank Dell, 4 catches, 33 yards. For the Texans, big win. Big, big win. You know, what I thought about the Texans would hurt them most is how they handle big games. I think they will play the Ravens. They'll play the Chiefs. But you already beat the Bills. You're doing better than the Bills. The Bills are 0-2 versus big teams, while the Ravens are 1-1, and the Texans are 0-1, and the Chiefs are 1-0. If you want to count the Bengals as a big game, 2-0. But regardless, big win for the Texans. And speaking of the Ravens, they beat the Bengals 41-38. Now, my phone died at the end of the game, but it turns out Evan McPherson missed a 53-yard field goal. There's a fumble recovery in the, like, bruh, I missed the overtime because my phone died, man, but turned out the Bengals punted at the end of the game. Then it was a fumble recovery by the Bengals. They walk down the field and can't even get a field goal. Derrick Henry hits a 51-yard run, and then boom, Justin Tucker ends the game off 24-yard game winning field goal. Lamar Jackson gave an MVP-type performance, man. He had 348 passing yards, 4 touchdowns. He also had 12 carries and 55 yards. Derrick Henry had another stellar game, 15 carries, 96 yards, 1 touchdown. Zay Flowers showed up big this week, 7 catches, 120 yards. Isaiah Likely caught 2 touchdowns with 3 receptions overall. Rashad Bateman had a touchdown on the day, 58 yards, 4 catches. Mark Andrews even had 4 catches on the day. Big day for that Ravens offense, controlled the ball for 33 minutes. Not bad, what can I say? Rushing attack was there, passing attack was there. Lamar Jackson made alien-like plays all day, and it was amazing to see. Shout out that boy Lamar. Really talented quarterback. You know, could he go back-to-back? I don't know. It's hard because I hate talking MVP now because, hell, really, Patrick Mahomes could turn around and give an MVP performance tonight, and the Chiefs were 5-0 headed into a bye, and you're like, okay, he's MVP. MVP is a trade-off, and, I mean, you could say who's favorite right now, but, I mean, no, I know Lamar Jackson and the Ravens don't give a shit about MVP as long as they can't win a Super Bowl. Lamar was telling himself, hell, if we're sitting there at the NFL award ceremony, I don't see a way Lamar Jackson wins the MVP, goes on stage and accepts it with a smile on his face. I don't know if he wants to even accept it. He'd probably make a video because, hell, if you don't make the Super Bowl and win another MVP, I don't know. It would probably eat the Lamar alive, all right? But is what it is. For Cincinnati side of things, their offense lit up that week too, man. It was a quarterback duel. Joe Burrow only threw 9 incompletions, 30 completions, 39 attempts, 392 yards, 5 touchdowns, and 1 interception. Ja'Marr Chase lit it up with 10 catches, 193 yards, and 2 touchdowns. T. Higgins had 2 touchdowns, 83 yards, and 9 catches. Chase Brown had 12 carries, 54 yards, 1 touchdown. Zach Moss had 9 carries, 52 yards. What's his name? Andrea Isiophius? Whatever the guy's name is, man. Interesting character. 1 catch, 39 yards. Nice day for both offenses. For the defense, you know, not a stellar day. Just couldn't stop 2 elite quarterbacks, and it is what it is, man. Great game. Unfortunate that 2 great games between 2 playoff-like teams was not in any prime time slot, but it is what it is, man. Ravens win this one by 3, 41-38. Next up in a battle of 2 teams that traded with each other and that dictated each other's future, you had the Bears beating the Panthers, 36-10. Caleb Williams had 304 yards, 2 touchdowns on the day. He threw 29 completions and threw the ball in total 29 times. Of course, DJ Moore had a big day himself versus his former squad. 5 catches, 105 yards, 2 touchdowns. Of course, back-to-back weeks, DJ Moore scored 2 touchdowns, and that's when I gave up gambling for a little while because the first few weeks of the season, I kept thinking, hey, DJ Moore's going to get in zone. He's going to get in zone. He never did. And now I'm sitting only with $13 left on my FanDuel, man. $13. Don't know when I'm going to bet again, but it's going to be soon, y'all. Stay tuned with that. DeAndre Swift, man, this is huge. I've been saying this for weeks. He needs to show up. If this team is going to be good, he needs to show up. And that's what he did this week. He got his panties out, his crack. Had 21 carries, 73 rushing yards, and a touchdown. He also had 2 receptions for 47 yards. Huge week for him. Glad he's there. Glad that rushing attack in the offensive line is solid, man. Good to see. And only Caleb Williams got sacked once, man. Love to see that. Bears offense is finally clicking. On the offensive side of things, Bryce Young did come in the game, and he threw a dot. Andy Dalton to perform this well. This was predictable. You know, that win versus the Raider was big, but he since came down to earth after that. And that was the most obvious thing ever. Andy Dalton was going to be elite for weeks going forward. So, I mean, I'm not sure why this is a shock. If Andy Dalton continues to just play like this and you're losing games by multiple possessions, why not throw Bryce Young back out there? You know, he only threw 7 passes, but he had 4 completions, 58 yards, and he threw a dot at the end of the game. But, I mean, why not, dude? Deontay Johnson, Chiefs target, 3 catches, 29 yards. Chuba Hubbard had 13 carries, 97 yards on the ground, and 1 touchdown. Overall, bad day for the Panthers, great day for the Bears, man. What can you say? Let's move on to the upset. Yeah, the Arizona Cardinals beating the 49ers 24-23. Kyler's late-game heroics and the walk-em-down touchdown gave the Cardinals the lead, and Brock Purdy threw a game-ending interception. What can you say? Got tipped, but it is what it is. The kicker, Ryland, had a 35-yard game-winning field goal. Interception a few seconds later, and kneel down, and the Cardinals win this one 24-23. For Kyler Murray, he had 19 completions on 30 attempts, 195 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. James Conner, had 19 carries, 86 yards on the ground, and 100 yards in total, as he had 2 catches of 14 yards with the air. Michael Wilson had 5 catches, 78 yards, and 0 touchdowns. Not bad. Marvin Harrison had 2 catches, 36 yards. He had a big, I think, what, late game? Or was it third down? Yes, third down. Kyler Murray off his heels, pressure in his face, threw a dime to Marvin Harrison Jr., and that continued their drive and potentially won them the game. San Francisco side of things, Brandon Ayuk finally showed up. 8 catches, 147 yards for the new big contract man in San Francisco. George Kittle had 8 catches, 64 yards and a touchdown. Jordan Mason, 14 carries, 98 yards. Deebo Samuel only had 1 catch and 20 yards, but he also had 3 carries. So somewhat of a down day for Deebo, man. Juwan Jennings, back to earth, has 1 catch and 13 yards. But for the Niners, you got your majority guys back. Of course, not without CMC still, but Ayuk, Kittle, Deebo, Mason all playing together. Purdy, too, and can only squander up 23 points and you lose the game. I mean, that's not good. Brock had two interceptions. You know, for weeks it's been a discussion. Is Brock Purdy better than Jalen Hurts? Is Brock Purdy really elite? I don't know. I'm 50-50 on Brock Purdy. I think he's a really good quarterback, but I wouldn't say he's better than Jalen Hurts, man. I've seen Jalen Hurts in big games. I've seen Jalen Hurts in the Super Bowl. He handled business. Granted, did he have more time with the ball than Mahomes? Yes, so I'm not going to say he played better than Mahomes because I don't think he did. But he still showed up in the Super Bowl in a big way, better than what Brock Purdy did. But I digress. That's a whole discussion for a different day, man. But huge win for the Cardinals. Bad loss for the Niners. They just lost another game. Can't let that happen, man. And I think they play the Chiefs week 7. I think Chiefs are on a bye. I don't know what the Niners do after that. But, yeah, that's going to be a big game. Tom Brady on the call. And speaking of Tom Brady, every time a big play happens, you say, oh! That's all he does is, oh! It's not bad, man. But you can tell it's kind of awkward because I've never imagined Tom Brady as a guy that, in the locker room, before game, after game, he's sitting there watching football, and every big play, he's like, oh! So it's interesting to see a guy I doubt was like a genuine football fan as a player. Not saying he wasn't, but somebody that probably didn't give off their seat for big plays, get in an announcing booth and just try to imitate like he is fond of these big plays. You know, he's a great talker, but he's probably not one of those guys that can give you genuine excitement. You know, it is what it is. In the next game, you had Bo Nix beating the Raiders 34-18. Patrick Surtain was the MVP of this game. He had 2 interceptions and a 100-yard pick six. Shout out that boy. I knew he would lead this good. I know this defense is good, and I knew he would lead that. I predicted that preseason. I believe in this Broncos team. Even though they're rivals, I believe in this team. Bo Nix had another clean game. 206 yards, 2 touchdowns with 19 completions. Javonte Williams is showing up, man. Good to see that. Former UNC Tar Heel. 13 carries, 111 yards on the ground. Solid day overall. Josh Reynolds had a touchdown. Solid day for the Broncos team, man. Your star player showed up, 2 interceptions. Big day overall, and you know, you can't say much. You know, Bo Nix and Sean Payton were on the sideline arguing. You know, but that's passion right there, man. He cares. He wants to win. And that's great to see from a rookie veteran, you know. You know, with his age, he's a vet. With his status, he is a rookie still. So I'm going to call him a rookie vet. But yeah, big win for the Raiders. I'm still baffled that they thought Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell would be a good duo. Those guys combined for 3 interceptions after splitting play. Davante Adams is, I think, going to be traded by the end of the week. You know, they're ramping up to trade him. And the thing is, they don't want to pay for his contract. They want whoever he gets shipped to pay for that contract, which will mean they'll probably take a lesser price. So when Davante Adams is traded for like a late third-round pick, don't be shocked because that team took on his contract. But, yeah, man, this team is just going downhill. Without Davante Adams, you only got Brock Bowers, and yeah. Just bad idea thinking those two guys would be suitable as QB, but Max Crosby, you know, went viral talking about, Bo, they don't know. He showed up, though. My boy did have 2 sacks on the day, so can't shit talk him really, man, but yeah. Overall, this Raiders team, doo-doo. Next up, you got Seahawks losing to the Giants 29-20. Sexy Dexy had 3 sacks on the day. Boy, that guy is nice. He's the second best D-tackle, in my opinion, to Chris Jones. 1A, 1B, best in AFC, best in the NFC. Let's not compare. Let's just enjoy these two beautiful talents, man. Daniel Jones on the day had 257 yards, 2 touchdowns. Darius Slayton had 8 catches, 122 yards. I really hope this performance doesn't think the Chiefs think he is worthy of trading for. I don't think he is. You know, I think bums can hit lucky shots, you know, and I think that's the case of what just happened. Wan'Dale Robinson had 40 yards, 6 catches, and 1 touchdown. Danny Jones, yeah, solid performance. 420 yards of offense total for the Giants. They handled business on the road. Geno Smith and the Seahawks team. Geno Smith had 284 yards, 28 completions, 1 touchdown. JSN was the recipient of that touchdown. He had 4 catches and 31 yards along with the touchdown he got from Geno Smith. Kenneth Walker had 5 carries for 19 yards, but had 7 catches for 57 yards. He also Tyler Lockett, 4 catches, 75 yards. DK, 4 catches, 55 yards. Zach Charbonnet, 2 carries for 11 yards. Rushing attack wasn't there again, like I said, for the Seahawks team. You got to run the damn ball, man, if you want to win. Overall, is what it is. You lost to a Giants team, but when you can run the ball, you probably win that game, man. But is what it is. Giants win this one by 9. Next up, Xavier McKinney, man. Shout out that boy, man. If you want to talk about defensive player of your candidate, he's up there. He had an interception on the day with 2 pass deflections and a forced fumble. That's my bad. Jordan Love, though, looking back to that form I thought he could be. 15 carries, 2 passing touchdowns, but 1 boneheaded interception. Should have just threw that ball out of bounds, man. If you could get it off, you could get it over to out of bounds by 5 more yards. But he had a good day. The big guy of the day, though, Tucker Kraft, had 4 catches, 2 touchdowns, 88 yards. Josh Jacobs had 19 carries for 73 yards. He also had 94 scrimmage yards in total. Jaden Reed, 4 catches, 97 yards. You know, Romeo Doubs not in the lineup this week. Of course, he's frustrated with his snaps, his play. It's going to be interesting to see what they do with him. He was suspended because of not showing up Thursday and Friday. But, yeah, man. For the Rams side of things, I'm going to say this every week. Injury bug bit you. You lose, you lose. You lost to a good team. What can I say? It is what it is. Matthew Stafford had 260 yards, 29 completions, 1 interception, and 1 touchdown. Kyren Williams showed up, though. He had 22 carries, 102 yards, and 1 rushing touchdown. You know, DeMarcus Robinson, Blake Corum. You know, guys, you know, they have guys, but not the guys that are needed to win, especially in the receiving game. So it is what it is. You just lost to a better team for the Rams, you know. Can't really complain about it. Last game of the day, Pittsburgh versus Cowboys. This game went on to play in Monday because of the long delay. So Dak Prescott made history. He threw 2 interceptions in the game, 1 on Sunday and 1 on Monday. Interesting stat. He had 352 yards in total, though, with 2 passing touchdowns. Rico Dowdle, what you call him? He had 20 carries, 87 yards. I played him in fantasy. If he scored that touchdown late, I would have lost the game, but luckily he didn't. He had 114 scrimmage yards in total, 87 rushing. Jalen Tolbert caught the game-winning touchdown. He had 7 catches with 1 touchdown, of course, 87 yards. CeeDee Lamb kind of had a pedestrian game, 5 catches, 64 yards. Usually not expected for a guy with his talent, but one of the interceptions came from Dak Prescott not throwing up a jump ball. And, of course, after the interception, CeeDee went to the sideline. He said, jump ball, jump ball, I got you. Some people thought of some other stuff, but I think he just went to him saying he just needs a jump ball, which I get. You know, let CeeDee go get up and grab that thing. Offensively for Pittsburgh, you're getting back to the form of Justin Fields. Yes, he threw 2 passing touchdowns. 131 yards, though. Cam Hayward's brother, I think. Is he Cameron? It's Connor Hayward, excuse me. Yeah, Connor Hayward, the tight end, had 2 catches, 1 touchdown, 23 yards. Najee Harris had 14 carries and 42 rushing yards with 77 scrimmage yards total. And it's Pat Freiermuth, the other tight end, catching a touchdown via Justin Fields, 3 catches and 1 passing touchdown. George Pickens went viral after the game after he snatched the snap mouthpiece of a Cowboys defender, leading to a flag after, you know, Cowboys, I think, recovered a fumble late and celebrated it. George Pickens didn't appreciate it and snatched his mouthpiece. I thought that was hilarious, man. But what these young kids be saying, crash out, I guess, you know, is what it is. I think he's not going to stay in Pittsburgh long. I just don't see the match. I don't feel the matchup's good. Is what it is, man. But for the Cowboys, big bounce back win versus a rival of the past. For the Steelers, you kind of got screwed out. There was a holding call that didn't get called on Cam Hayward, and that could have ended the game winning drive for the Cowboys, but it didn't. But yeah, you lose to a better team. I'm saying this for a lot of teams because, you know, it's football. You're not going to always beat that better team. Sometimes you can, sometimes you won't. But for the Steelers, you competed, and that's that, man. So that was the NFL Sunday. I thought it was a week late on paper, but it turned out to deliver, especially in the early afternoon, but the mid-afternoon. Cardinals Niners delivered, you know. Wasn't a bad day overall, but let's preview what Monday and other days can turn out to be. And I'll give you my predictions on a few things, guys. Let's talk some ALDS, man. Game 2, you got Tariq Skubal versus Matthew Boyd. Cy Young favorite, the winner of the Cy Young and AL East, Tariq Skubal in progressive field. Give me the Tigers winning this one. I think Tariq Skubal is going to deliver. He's going to give you a solid 7 to 8 innings, allowing you to win this game. Yeah, that's my prediction. I really don't know who's in this Tigers lineup, man. And I can look for you, dog. Like, I'm not familiar with a lot of names, man. I think, you know, really, Riley Green could do something. You know, I think Riley Green's going to get a homer. I think he's going to make something shake, dude. Spencer Torkelson, Parker Meadows. I think he can get a home run for sure. But for the rest of the guys, I really don't keep up with them, man. You know, interesting lineup for sure. But, you know, I think it'll be a low-scoring game. Give me the Tigers winning this one, 2-1. I think Guardians will maybe get one on Skubal, but I think the Tigers score early, maintain to that lead, and Skubal gets them nearly through the whole game. Nearly, maybe completes the whole game, man. I just put so much trust in this guy, I think he's going to deliver. Now let's talk game 2, Royals Yanks. Don't know if the lineups are out yet. Yeah, they're not. They're showing everybody, man. But Cole Reagans, Carlos Rodon, two of the best lefties in the league. Off gut. Off of just knowing my team, I'm going to go with the Royals, man. They scored 5 runs in the first game. I think Vinny Pascotino is going to get a home run in this game. Somebody's going to get a home run over that small right field corner. They're going to deliver. They're going to score early. And Cole Reagans is going to deliver a solid 6 or 7 innings. And it's going to be up to the bullpen to limit walks, limit hits, and once again, limit Aaron Judge. You limit Aaron Judge, you make sure Juan Soto only gets on base once or twice this game, and you win the game. I think, like I said, I think one of Vinny, Bobby, or Salvi hits a home run. I think you score early, and I think Cole Reagans delivers. Once he delivers, your bullpen's going to show up, use that momentum, and they're going to deliver the game. They're going to bring you a win with the series and bring it back to Kansas City 1-1, and we'll have 2 guaranteed games in Kansas City. I can't give you an in-depth baseball analysis. The lineups aren't out yet for these guys, but that's who I think is going to do it. I think Vinny, Bobby, or Salvi are going to show up big this game. I think hopefully all 3. And I just hope you can score big and early. If you can, Cole Reagans is going to deliver, and you're going to take a lot of pressure off your backs if you can score early and get hits off Rodon. If you could do it off Gerrit Cole, I believe you can do it off Rodon, all right? Make Rodon nervous, make him miss the strike zone, get walks, get on base, steal some bases, hit some home runs, pimp some home runs, and yeah, you can win this game. My score prediction, I got the Royals winning this one 9-3. Sorry, you just heard me click my mouse hard as hell, but man, let's finish it off with Monday Night Football, Saints at Chiefs. I will be in attendance for this, y'all. The one and only Kenny G will be in attendance to watch the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't want to give a prediction, man, because if I was at home, I would fully believe we'd lose this game. But now I'm going to be there. I don't know if I want to see a loss, especially if the Royals can't deliver, all right? Somebody's going to have to make me a little happy tonight. Granted, the Royals will make me so much happier than the Chiefs would if they won, but I digress. It doesn't matter, man. The Chiefs, 4-0. Saints 2-2. For the Saints, you know, they've been electric. They were electric those first 2 games. But then a bad day versus the Eagles offensively, and then you lose to the Falcons, who didn't even score an offensive touchdown that day. You let them beat you. Bad day, bad vibes, bad weeks for the Saints, man. But I think they're going to come in this game ultra motivated. Derek Carr, every few years or so, he either wins the game in Arrowhead or he's very close. Damn it, he did it. What was it, 2021 or 20? He did it that year. They spun around victory circles, happy as hell, beating the Chiefs at home. You know, he's got close before. I think maybe he can do it again. If the Saints do win this one, Chris Olave is going to have a big game. Alvin Kamara is going to have a big game. If he can run the ball, limit the ball in Mahomes' hands, you can handle that. But on the Saints defensive-wise, you have to limit Travis Kelce. If you do that, the game's wide open. You're going to have to let guys like Xavier Worthy, Justin Watson, Juju, you're going to have to let these guys beat you one-on-one. If you can do that, the game is yours. Kareem Hunt is a little banged up, but he is playing. So if you can stop the run and stop Travis Kelce, you win this game. But that's a lot easier than said than done. So it's going to be interesting to see if the Chiefs do this win this game. Patrick Mahomes is going to give an MVP-type performance. Because, like I said, I don't think the way you've been playing in the past isn't going to win this game tonight. Because the Saints are going to come out aggressive and they're going to try to score points. So the way you played last week versus the Chargers won't win this game versus the Saints. So Mahomes will either have to give an MVP performance. Kareem Hunt's going to give an Offensive Player of the Year performance. You know, he won't even get close to sniffing it. I'm just saying. Defense is going to be stellar. Chris Jones is going to get a few sacks. You're going to get a few turnovers. And Travis Kelce's going to have a big game. So I'll try to summarize that a little quicker. Travis Kelce has a big game. Mahomes has a big game. And a clean game. No turnovers. You force turnovers versus the Saints. And you limit Alvin Kamara. And you win that game. So that's my prediction. If I had to give you a score, give me the Chiefs, 35, Saints, 21. I think the Saints will get on the board early, but the Chiefs will continue to bounce back. Xavier Worthy might get in the end zone. Kareem Hunt's going to get in the zone, I think, twice at least. Travis Kelce will have his big Monday night game. He'll have 3 touchdowns, over 100 yards. And Patrick Mahomes will hopefully have, 4 touchdowns, over 300 yards, 350 yards. MVP type performance, I think he could do that, man. But that's my prediction for either team, is stop the main players on offense and let other guys beat you. For the Chiefs, stop Olave, stop Kamara, let the other guys beat you. For the Saints side of things, stop Travis Kelce, stop the run, let other guys beat you. All right? For the Saints, it's a lot harder to do said than done because you're playing Patrick Mahomes. For the Chiefs, it's simple. Let Derek Carr try to beat you with Rashid Shaheed. Let him try to beat you with Taysom Hill. I don't think he's playing, man, but hell, let him try to beat you with Foster Moreau. Like, let him try to beat you with those guys. All right? Don't let him beat you with Chris Olave or Alvin Kamara. If you do that, then you lose the game. All right? But defensively, I think it could be a defensive game. Only if the Chiefs don't lock in. All right? But yeah, man. Like I said, the score is going to be 35 Chiefs, Saints 21. And that's my solid prediction of the week. All right. Last thing. We're going to preview Niners Seahawks. I'm going to give a little... I'm not going to get in depth at all because it's a long episode. But Niners Seahawks. Niners are favored by 3 points. Give me the Niners winning this one. I think Brock Purdy, that rushing attack, George Kittle, Debo Samuel, I expect a big game from Debo. They're on the road. I think Debo is going to have a big game. Niners win this one, I say by 10 points. But I think it'll be a big offensive matchup. JSN, DK, Tyler Lockett, they'll all show up. You know, once again, the Niners will probably lean on Jordan Mason. But for the Seahawks side of things, they won't probably rush the ball, run the ball. They haven't done it all year. Run the damn ball. But if they can't, they'll lose the game. If they can, they could maybe win it. All right, if Kenneth Walker, Zach Charbonnet, if those guys can get carries and they can get positive rushing yards every carry, they can win this game, all right? For the Seahawks, you got to have at least overrun 100 rushing yards to you for you to win this game. If you don't, you probably lose this game. For the Niners spot of things, Debo's got to have a big game. If Debo has a big game, I think they win this one. So that's my guarantee of the week for week 6 of the NFL. Debo Samuel has a big game versus the Seahawks. Give me the Niners winning this one, 24-14. And yeah, let's wrap it up, all right, man. This is the longest episode we had at 11, an hour and 11 minutes, longest episode by far. We covered a lot, but on Friday, I hope to talk about everything that happened in the MLB playoffs at that point, a lot in depth, talk about Monday Night Football and Thursday Night Football. Hopefully, we get some other news. NBA preseason has been a few games, and we'll talk about that. And yeah, dog, it's going to be a great week, It's going to be a great month. Like I said, it's going to be a great rest of the year, y'all. Like always, stay blessed. Love and respect one another. And I'll catch you guys on Friday. And yeah, thank you if you made it this far. Shout out to you guys. Mwah.